The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Who said this? It has been a very long journey, not at every stage of the way an easy one, although it has been tremendous fun. Was it Nigel Farage, David Cameron, Boris Johnson, or Chris Evans? Last week, the Radio Times ran a quiz. It picked 8 sentences from the resignation announcements of the 4 men and asked readers who said what. It should have been a doddle, given how distinctive the voices of the 4 usually are. A regular bloke, a standard-issue Etonian, an erudite clown Etonian, and a cheeky son of a bookie. Their resignations were also quite different. One was resigning after 6 years running the country, another after 6 weeks presenting a TV show about cars, and 2 resigned having failed, 2 having succeeded. Yet when it came to quitting, they all said the same things. Even though I had read or listened agog to all of their statements at the time, I failed hopelessly at the game. I didn't even pick Mr. Farage as the speaker of the above words, and overall scored a pathetic 3 out of 8. The clichés of resignation are now so ubiquitous that Roy Hodgson, who had only 5 minutes in a tunnel in France to write his resignation statement, unthinkingly plumped for all of them. The first is always to use travel metaphors. "It's been a fantastic journey," he said of his ignominious ride. The second is never to admit to having cocked anything up and never to say sorry. Instead, you must always pat yourself on the back. "I'm actually proud of the work my coaching staff and I have achieved," said the failed England football manager. Next, you thank whoever you can think of, and having done that, pledge undying allegiance to whatever it is you've worked for. Even Mr. Evans said he would do all he could to help the cause, which seemed a little far-fetched for Top Gear. Finally, you never say the word resign, let alone quit. Even step down has become a little too close to the truth. Instead, you refer to what you're doing as stepping aside, no matter how precipitous the decline in front of you appears. I've been wondering whether there's a better, more honest way in which to quit. As a first step, I've Googled best resignation letter, and almost the first thing that came up was a cake. In 2013, a man announced his departure to Stansted Airport Border Force in icing. This is charming. The trouble with it is it only works if, like the man in question, you're quitting to pursue a future in novelty cakes. A resignation should offer a chance to say something true. Everyone is listening. And because you're no longer so beholden to the person who's been paying you or watched you or voted for you, you can say what you like. Every now and again, someone decides to do just that. There was the Muppets letter from Greg Smith in the New York Times as he left Goldman Sachs. There was the "We're only in it for the money" letter in the FT by the fund manager Andrew Larder. Both were savage, both were gifts to journalists, and both said some things that were true, that the culture at Goldman isn't great, and that the sharp end of capitalism isn't great either. Even so, both left a bad taste in the mouth, making their authors seem less brave than simply bad-mannered. Superficially less rude was the long farewell letter sent by Patrick Pichette of Google last year, who quit his post as chief financial officer for "a perfectly fine midlife crisis full of bliss and beauty." Yet this was not only emotionally incontinent, but insulting to those who didn't have a $5.2 million salary to splurge on an endless family holiday all around the world. A resignation statement is not a time for truth. It's a time for politeness and for causing minimum upset, which may mean some version of the standard clichés may be best after all. The two choices that remain are with or without emotion and short or long. In general, I'm in favour of the lip remaining as stiff as possible at work. Being professional means comporting oneself with dignity, and that means, above all, not blubbing when anything goes wrong. However, Mr. Cameron has proved that a minor quaver in the voice when you leave something can be a good thing. It makes people, even those who are spitting blood over what you've done, somewhat better disposed towards you, if only for a minute or two. On long versus short, there can be no debate. A resignation statement can't be too short, which means Twitter is the perfect place to do it. Mr. Evans tweeted, "Stepping down from Top Gear, gave it my best shot, but sometimes that's not enough. The team are brilliant. I wish them all the best." It was okay, but can be improved upon. My favourite Twitter resignation came from Jimmy Matthews, who left as acting head of a South African broadcaster last month. It simply said, "I have quit the SABC."
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.